What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I have another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very talented singer-songwriter who was recently inducted to Boston's Steppin' Out Hall of Fame with Mr. George Benson. Over the years, she has worked with recording artists such as Walter Beasley, Bill Pierce, Andre Ward, and producer-composer Rollins Ross. Please put your hands together and welcome singer-songwriter and entrepreneur Vivian Mill. How's it going, Vivian?
Oh, it's a great day.
Oh, great to be here. To have you here, you know, on my show and, you know, taking your time out to chop it up with Vivian. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your inviting me to come on your show.
Well, thank you. You know, Vivian, give me some history of how when you started out as a singer-songwriter and venturing off to other avenues in the business. I mean, because not only you're a singer-songwriter, but you have your own side businesses as well, you know, that you've been running and honing for a while, you know, so give me some background and some history of how when that started.
Well, it goes back a ways. In terms of the actual singing, it started, like most people will tell you, when I was a child. I'm the next to the youngest of eight, and I've always had music in my house, and I've had musicians in my house, and I benefited from a whole generation of music before my time because it was played, and I learned to have an appreciation for all great music. I just, you know, started out singing at relatives' weddings, and one day, actually the producer-composer Rollins Ross you mentioned is a childhood friend, and I used to ask him to play for me at these weddings. And one day I was at his house, and he got a call. He had just lost the contract of his major vocalist and asked me if I would sing for this annual event that he had, and the people were on the phone. So I said, what do I have to do? He said, no, you can do it, you can do it. And I said, okay, because I trusted him. And that was the first time I performed in public and was paid. And that started my career in professional singing. And I did many, many special events, high-end special events. And as you may know, my history is such that I was also working a very full-time life in the public sector at the time. So my music was part-time. And after a while, they started coming because they were curious, because the kind of jobs I had was such straight-laced jobs. It was very difficult for people to imagine me singing, you know.
Yeah.
So it was curiosity, it was support, but once they learned that I did indeed sing, more and more people came to me directly because they knew I had a very strong work ethic. And at some point then I branched out on my own and started doing my own performances, and I am used to telling people what to do. So it worked out very well for me. And it just evolved over time. But, keep in mind that not only did I have a full-time straight job, and I mean, you know, chairman of the appeals board of unemployment insurance, and it was a period of time when I was an administrative judge for workers' compensation, and, you know, a lot of the private parties and things that I did, I had to back up one time because I had done a fabulous party over the weekend, and one Monday morning, some of the representatives of this company that I had just performed for were appearing before me that Monday morning. Everybody was confused. But in that instance, there was a panel of three commissioners, and I just recused myself, and the decision came out in the majority, and so that was fine. It was no inconvenience to them. But it dawned on me, I have to be a little particular about, you know, about where I perform. So that's a lot of what I did. And at the point when I decided to record, that was really in response to other people saying, well, do you have anything? You know, I enjoyed you so much, I want to take something away.
Sure.
And so then I collaborated with some of the musicians that I had been working with, and we came up with some of my favorite tunes that are old tunes and are done my way. I had finally evolved to the point where I was kind of coming into myself. You know, when you first start out and you're singing, you know, you know people, and I cut my teeth on lots of artists who I'd probably like to talk about. But when I started out, I wanted to do things just like the record. Like the record. I thought people wanted to hear it the way they had heard it before. And I realized I evolved when I got to a point where it was my rendition. And the songs on my CD are my rendition because it's the way I feel it. And then you evolve to another point where it's not just covers, but, you know, it's time to write.
Right.
It's time to express yourself in a different way. And right now I am feeling that I am about to bust open. I have so much going on in me, and more recently, when I was in a period of being unhappy, a short period, because I really try to see the glasses half full all the time. But I went through an unhappy period, and I started really beginning to write, and I noticed that I was writing positive songs. I was writing love songs. I love love songs.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, but it was positive stuff. And so that told me a little bit more about myself as well, and how you just kind of overcome whatever it is that you think you have going on. Because if I even stop for a minute and think about how blessed I am, it's part of, you know, who I am and how I've done what I've done. I've done a lot of work with not-for-profits. I've served on lots of boards, including, as you know, Berklee College of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my interest in educating along with my love of music. And for that reason, Berklee was a perfect match for me. And I had worked on and had done lots of, you know, production of fundraisers and things to raise money for musicians who need the money to learn, and Berklee in particular, trains people to leave and earn a living at their trade. So I've been, that's really been part of my blessing for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm kind of going on, but if I get to talking about that, it really is, it takes me into a very spiritual place, because I really have a very strong spiritual base, and I have a very strong work ethic that's been instilled in me through my mother and father, both blue-collar workers. And, you know, the support that I've had and the you know, trials and tribulations that I have been able to live through, and I'm including, you know, family. My husband passed of cancer a few years ago. I have a son who you know, loves his dad dearly and is working his way through teenagehood now. The two of us are. That's a phrase
sure.
that I find, you know. And there's something even different about that, because lyrics, and I'm a lyrics person, when you hear lyrics and you deliver the lyrics, I hear things very differently now than I did before. And it's because of experience. And when I think about some of the people that I, you know, I really, really have admired. I mean, I cut my teeth on Nancy Wilson, and in some ways I consider myself not only a contemporary jazz singer, but a stylist as well.
Sure.
And she is, to me, plus she was a lady.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and she carried herself the way I like to do it. So I love Nancy Wilson. You know, at the same time, when you think of Sarah Vaughan, and she performed forever, like 50 years or whatever, she went through stages in her life. She had the vocal range also. She had the phrasing. She had that improvisational bent. And to me, that is, if I live to be long, old enough, I as well will have worked through various stages like that in my life. So I look at what is it that makes me who I am, and where am I headed? And I look to the old people, I mean the people who, you know, who are tried and true. I mean, and let's not forget Billie Holiday, because she had a very difficult life. Some of her songs, I mean, your mantra for the day, God bless the child who's got his own. And to me, when I thought about how many of her songs I had sung over a period of time, you know, she had a tremendous influence on me. You know, Donna Washington, the very first song that I sang in public was What a Difference a Day Makes. And so you go back to that because my friend Rollins' mother told me I needed to learn that song. So you take the history, you take the, you know, the influences and the experience of the people who've gone before you. But you also have to pay attention to what's going on with some of the more, you know, contemporary as in now, artists that I don't have a lot of time for hip hop and what have you, but I still love the smooth jazz. I love the R&B. I love Diane Reeves. You know, she's got this, you cannot put her in a box. That's the thing I love about her.
Right.
You know, she does so many different kinds of things, you know, and of course you mentioned Walter Beasley. Walter Beasley is the end all. He does it all. He sings, he plays.
Mm-hmm.
He's my dear friend who 3 o'clock in the morning, if you have an issue, you can call on the phone. He will always pick up the phone. I don't know what he's doing. I don't care what he's doing. He will always say, first of all, are you okay?
Yeah.
No. And everybody needs to have, you know, friends like that, and particularly if they're in the business and they keep late hours, it makes it a lot easier.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That, you know, they can understand what you're going through and things.
Understand, for sure. And so, you know, these are some of the things that have kind of made me, you know, who I am and the things that drive me. You know, I do have, you know, as you may know, I had a scholarship endowed in my name.
Yes, the Berklee College of Music, yes.
And we're talking about doing an annual fundraising event to bring more money into the college for that. I mean, the college already gives about $20 million in scholarships every year.
Wow.
We've done really a good job. Roger Brown came in about 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago now, and I chaired the Presidential Transition Committee and got to know him pretty well, and it was such a blessing for us. And whatever the things that we had worked on, particularly scholarships, Roger, to his credit, came in and did not displace anything. He just took it to another whole level. And whoever is not familiar with what Berklee is doing today needs to check it out. Down from the board because of my term limitations now, which I helped put in place. obvious, but I still am on the Presidential Advisory Committee, so I'm very much connected with Berklee. We had a Beantown Jazz Festival in Boston, 60,000 people. This is the 10th year, and we bought the rights from a local businessman a couple of years ago, and we run a whole week-long series of events, but the Saturday event is what is open to the public that draws, you know, lots of people. I did a cameo appearance there. And, you know, Boston is hot. Boston is happening. That's all I can say.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, going back to Berklee, though, I mean, Berklee, for me, I mean, because I'm a musician, also a keyboardist and composer, producer. And, you know, there's not a time that I can remember not even knowing about Berklee College of Music. And, you know, now with the internet in place, I mean, they're offering so many courses online for musicians to take advantage of. You know, so to me, I mean, their name is always in the ring of things.
award-winning courses online, by the way.
Yes.
It's not just one of these fly-by-night things that's been thrown up. Berklee's very, very serious about that. And on the cutting edge of contemporary music and everything else related to what's going on with musical, you know, instruments and different emerging genres. And so Berklee's near and dear to my heart, as you can tell.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, Vivian, I got to talk to you a little bit about your style as a vocalist and a songwriter. You know, as being a vocalist, you're writing music for yourself. But let's say you're writing for a different artist. Do you really kind of give them your own feel of where you would like to take them? Or do you kind of investigate their history as an artist and kind of form them into what they have existing? I mean, I know it can go both ways sometimes, but, you know, what's your perspective on that?
Well, I have to say that I have not written for others. I'm kind of struggling with my own identity for, you know, what kind of writing I'm really beginning to do. When I have worked with writers, I have been fortunate enough to work with individuals who understand me. Singers who want to step into somebody else's music, I say hats off to you. as one who feels very, very strongly about my own personal individual expression, and you can take the words, but you still have to make it your own. You really have to make it your own, because that's the only way it's legitimate. And as I said, when you step from doing somebody else's songs and somebody else's work into making the song your own, there's a huge difference, and that's when the audience connects with you. I had something not long ago where people had engaged me to do something, and then their budget changed, and they asked me if I did tapes, and this was a live event. It was a special event, but it was small. Say it was probably a couple of thousand people, and I said no. I can't do that.
Sure.
Do that. I need to interact with the audience. I need to step out and take the words and change them if I want to make the performance in the moment.
Oh yeah, got to have the improv sessions.
Yeah, it's got to be in the moment for me.
Now, with the CD that you've been putting together, do you currently have your own personal production team and writing team, or is it kind of studio session musicians coming in on the project and putting the CD that way together?
Well, I worked very hard and long with the co-producer, Langston Skip Smith, and Skip actually pulled musicians together that were other than the ones that I had ordinarily worked with. And so he gets a lot of credit for making sure it all came together, and again, that it still sounded like me. And when we were going through editing, it was very, very clear that my, that it's much better when you work with people who know you. I did change the order of the songs. There was some give and take about that, but my view was, this is the way I see this. This is a project, and how you start out and how you end, even how you develop in the middle, people are not going to get to the last song unless you step out, reach out, and engage them in what your product is. And there are many times, you know, that you can pick up a CD and you listen to it, and maybe there are only two songs that you like.
Yeah.
And that's not what's happened with me so far. And, you know, I do a lot of cover tunes, and I'm moving away from that. But I think given the response that people have had to my interpretations of songs that are favorites of theirs, I will likely always do cover tunes as well.
You know, I'm a huge fan of covers, Vivian, since I've been playing... since I can remember, you know, around 10, 11, 12 years old, you know, just getting on the piano playing songs that I love personally as my favorites. Is there any particular songs that you haven't tackled yet that you love to start and really make it your own?
Well, the only thing that I was thinking even more recently, as I'm thinking about after the fall is over and I deal with some of these personal family challenges that are before me, and when you have lots of family, you kind of have those challenges, is I want to really mix it up a little bit more and do some straight-out jazz as well. And, you know, one of the reviews I recently got talked about how I had given new life to quote-unquote worn-out tunes. <You know? laughs> I don't like that part of the quote, but the compliment was there, and I was walking around just this evening doing my own rendition of Wave. You know, that's been done by a zillion people, but I wanted a little differently and bring a little something else to it.
You know, I always like asking that because for me, I think covers is the best tool that any musician can take advantage of. You know, there's a composer I feel that's in all of us at certain points and times, but you know, those covers, you know, you play them so much they almost become you after a while. I mean, it's like you know that material so well, like you know your own.
Well, but if you look at the age-old songs and some of the young people, I mean, even my son in school, when they were doing, you know, certain projects, they go back to the old songs.
Yeah.
The old school, the old... People like what they can recognize. And I think particularly in an older crowd, which I had started playing for, there is so much that they don't understand now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are very few stations that they can turn to that actually have lyrics, not just, you know, music, instrumentation and jazz in that way, but songs that have lyrics that they can relate to. So people like familiarity. They
like
able to sing along with the song.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them a sense of belonging, and it gives them a sense that you are reaching out to them, and it validates their preferences if you take the time to do something that they know and that they like.
Exactly.
I'm just talking about the responses that I have received over time. I remember performing at a major event in Boston once, and one of the at the time current Celtics players walked up to me and said during the break, "Wow, I didn't know you were going to be here. If I had known you were going to be here, I'd have brought my CD for you to sign."
Wow.
And I'm looking at this person who is so well known all over the world, and he is telling me that he would be looking for my autograph. And I asked him, I said, "Well, what made you pick up my CD?" He said, "Well, I looked, I guess at the time, because LaBelle is L and Mail is M, I was right behind Patti LaBelle. That wasn't bad." And he said, "Well, I looked at the back of it, and I recognized some of the songs, and I decided I was going to give it a try." And that was major to me.
Yeah.
That was really major. And then he told me his favorite was The Look of Love, and I thought, okay, that's good. He even knew at the moment what his favorite was. So, you know, there are so many different talents, and so many... I think of some of the people now, you know, I was before I called in, you know, the Anita Bakers and the Patty Austins. But I like Nora Jones, and Alicia Keys is smoking.
Yeah.
Some of these people, if you look at some of the older people who I like because of the way they have done things, somebody like a Smokey Robinson, you know, who...
Oh, yeah.
Songwriter, the Beatles were quoted as saying that he was the greatest living poet.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him when he received an honorary degree. And in fact, the third cut on my CD is a tune that I totally redid and had a chance to give it to him. And since I had paid all my royalties and whatever I was, and always do, I was fine with that. But that was a song that was written by Smokey Robinson. And then you look at somebody like Stevie Wonder. One of the geniuses of a songwriter like Stevie Wonder, if you listen to what it is that he says, he often reverses words and doesn't speak the way we would in a sentence and presents the last part of the thought up front and then makes it happen. Or he does something like, "I just called to say I love you." If you ever listen to the entire song, and you see that he takes it from January through December with every season, with every category of thing associated with a particular month in the season, it's genius.
Oh, yeah.
It's genius.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't do jazz, but everybody knows Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah. He's one of my top five. I have top five musicians, producers of all time that I just gravitate to as a player. Quincy Jones, Teddy Riley, Stevie Wonder, Prince,
mm-hmm.
and George Duke. These guys are my top five. You know, and I just feel if I had any choice of any CDs to listen to the rest of my life, if I had their catalog and library, I would be fine.
I had a chance to meet Quincy Jones. And, again, this is the Berkeley connection, and we spent a little bit of time. And, you know, as many times as he had been asked to participate in making contributions to Berkeley, the first check that he cut for Berkeley was for the Sarah Vaughan Endowed Scholarship Fund that two other board members and I started. And he talked fondly about Sassy. Yeah, I've got a picture where he's holding me at the waist and he's pointing at me as like I'm the woman, and so I treasure that one. And it's actually not, it's a little bit out of focus. Doesn't make a difference. You know who it is. But I agree with you, George Duke and Quincy Jones in particular. They're just.
You know, finding that creative zone, I really take it from you, Vivian, that you really love the stage, you know, but I got to ask you, I mean, finding that creative zone, is it in the studio where you can really focus on the material that you're composing, writing, or is it being on stage where you can gravitate off the energy of the audience and band members?
I can tell you, as a person who, before I really started singing professionally on stage, was considered to be pretty straight-laced and... people might say that I was intense. The levity that I have and the engaging that I do of myself with my audience, I am told by, and this is, again, one of those blessings that I talked about, because I am now engaged, and I have one of my biggest fans tells me I'm an entirely different person for the better. So I feel it, my audience feels it, and that kind of interaction and that spirit, and you can feel when you have the people, you feel when you're giving them what it is that they're looking for. And I can feel it when they're giving it back to me. So there's no question that performance is my love.
Definitely. Yeah, like I said, I just got a sense from just, you know, speaking with you and just really knowing the type of artist you are. And yeah, there's nothing like having a stage presence, you know. And, you know, I talked to a lot of musicians locally and I said, man, if you really want your first audience, your first concert, join the church band. I mean, because there you can really see the people's reactions. And you mentioned earlier having the spirit around you. I mean, that's really where it's at for me, you know.
It is. It truly is, and it makes you feel like you brought joy.
Yeah.
And that is, that's a gift that you have that you're sharing, and you know that you're successful when they respond. And you can tell when they're being polite, and you can tell when they truly have been touched.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm looking to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'd like to say just another word about something that I'm looking to do, hopefully, maybe in April. I had mentioned my fiancé, George Williams, and he has been to Haiti since the earthquake three times now. He was a first responder, and he's a dentist, so people don't think dentists would have a need in a place like that, but believe me, they know how to stitch and they know how to sew, and the people that were in need benefited by his involvement, and he has since gone back a couple of other times with an organization. And there is a clinic there that needs money to complete its building, and so I think we're going to do a big fundraiser in New York in April to benefit this clinic in Haiti. Very, very interested in. It's going to be more than just a concert, and they'll be pulling in lots of different interesting professionals, and New York has such a plethora of artists and designers and actors and actresses, and all of whom would lend their name to something that would be a special evening. So I might get there myself in January, too, and I'm hoping that's the case. So it is about giving back in many different ways, and for me, it's something to share. I was blessed with not starting out as a vocalist only, and I've had jobs that have supported me through my evolution as an artist, and so I've been able to do the things that I wanted to do with music. I've had a little bit of probably more choices than other folks, and I just feel that it, to the extent that I can use it to give back in another way. While people are enjoying themselves, that worked for me.
Definitely. Well, I mean, giving back, I mean, that's really part of my mission anyways. You know, I talk to people about the mission of my show, and I said, man, when I was growing up in the 80s as a musician, a young musician, the internet wasn't even available. I mean, it was like, internet, what is that? You know, so to, you know, find your musical resources, you either had to go to the library or, you know, find local musicians in the area or pay attention to TV, you know. But now with the internet and podcasts and things, you know, I'm really trying to create a centralized location, one spot where everybody can, you know, listen to all the top artists and producers and writers in the business and learn from there instead of, you know, going to different sites for different things. So yeah, you know, just having that information from you guys, I mean, it's valuable to me as a seasoned musician and also up and coming musicians as well. Well, you know, we're approaching the end of 2010, Vivian. What's on the musical agenda for the closing year and the upcoming 2011? I know we have the Haiti project that you're working on, which is tremendous. I mean, is there anything else that you have on the fire right now?
No, we're just putting together the pieces for the annual concert, which at the end of the year, maybe May-ish through Berkeley. I need to get back into New York for a lot of the things that were percolating before the summer began, and I took some time off at that time. I have been scheduled for the 700 Club holiday special, and so I think I need to put out some sort of a Christmas song before then. And I need to work on a new CD because I'm already there.
Yeah.
Already there in my head, and I just need to take the time to get it done. So those are some of the things that are on tap.
Perfect. Well, Vivian, it was an honor talking to you. I really appreciate you taking out the time to sit down and talk to me about what's going on in your life, musically and outside of music. And I would love to have you back and talk about your musical endeavors and also the Haiti project in April next year. So,
well, thank you. I will let you know. And I've spent some time looking at the things that you have done and accomplished, and not only your music, but in your business, in having other people come and share. And I've got to tell you, I'm going to spend a lot more time listening to some of the interviews of some of your past guests, because there's a lot of information that's there, and it's great that it continues to be there for people. So now I can refer folks to different interviews, which I thought were really outstanding.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're doing a good job. Thank you.
Well, Vivian, you have a safe 2010 and a safe 2011, and you and your family and everybody at your surroundings, you guys have a safe one also.
Thank you, Spud, and to all of yours as well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Big shout out and thank you to Miss Vivian Mill for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. Another great seasoned musician, tons of, you know, performing experience, and now merging into the recording side of music. And it's just really cool just to get her side of her musical journey and, you know, to see where she is now. Man, just a lot of accomplishments and things. For more information on Vivian, you can hit her website up at www.myspace.com/VivianMill. Again, www.myspace.com/VivianMill. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit my website up as well at www.spudtootight.com. Again, www.spudtootight.com. And my show is also available on iTunes, so if you have an iPhone, an iPod, a PC, or a Mac, you can go to the iTunes store, type in the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight, click on my image, and you'll have a list of my past and current interviews as well. And to close out the show, I am going to play the track that's playing in the background. It is by Vivian Mill. It's her rendition of Our Day Will Come. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in, listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.
And we'll have